4 CBA Mobile.
Hi, Dave. How you doing, buddy? Sender OTR.
Well, I never would have guessed in a million years. How you doing, Tom?
Good. Had to do some running around today and just sitting here watching Adam 12. Did you find an amp probe that you liked? There wasn't nothing wrong with that one you sent a picture of from Harbor Freight, I don't think. It just wasn't the same one as what I got. And I'm not overly sure that's where I got it. I thought I did, Dave, because the ones at Lowe's are a little higher grade, if you will, but they do the same thing. They're just measuring magnetic flux. So I don't see that you need a real high-end one for that.
It's not like I'm a professional electrician or anything. I might just get that one, that last one I sent you. I don't know when I sent it, a couple hours ago maybe, from Harbor Freight. But I could have sworn you said you got it from Lowe's, but my brain, it does fool me sometimes.
Your brain's right on. And that is a possibility. But Lowe's and Home Depot's got some nice meters, and they vary from the lesser costly to the more costly, Fluke being one of the highest. But Amp Probe makes an exceedingly good one, too. But nowadays, the Tina products work just fine for the average home user on stuff like that. So I don't think you'd go wrong on buying that. And then when you get it, come up here and I'll show you a couple little real nice testing units that I built that you can build for practically nothing to use along with that, that makes it even a lot more handy.
Well, okie dokie. Well, I was just thinking about that today. I was saying to myself, I said, I need to get there and bug Tom. I hadn't been up there in a long time and give him a hard time.
Book me anytime, Dave. And I just got some nice little test things that I use that I've made myself for little or nothing over the years. And it just makes, for example, that amp probe a lot more handy. Just pretty slick. A lot of times when you're measuring, say, a wall heater, a little portable one or something, well, you just clamp around both wires, and that's really not the way you want to do it. You don't want to split those two wires apart. I got a little rig that I made up, and you just plug it into it and plug that back into the socket, and then you can measure one wire at a time. But the amp probe is an invaluable tool. It really is, especially for monitoring loads, and that'll measure everything, including your service entrance to your house, if you want, because I think it goes up to 300 amps or so. So
the one I was looking at is only $24.99. It went up to 400 amps.
Well, most of the entrances to most houses, I don't know about your mansion, but most of them is 200 amps. Now, my nephew's up there in Boston, where I can't afford to park my car. I looked at his, and his was a 400-amp entrance and two panels. And, of course, the house was a $4 million house.
KB4CBA, mine's a little cheaper than that.
Generally require 200 amp service entrance anymore. Boy, they didn't in the old days, Dave. I went out to help a friend out one time. Well, it was an elderly person. And they had a one fuse box on the outside of the house. And from that one fuse, it went up to the inside of the peak of the house. And there were two wires running across the peak of the house. And then they would wrap a wire around each one to get your 110 and your neutral. No ground, of course, back in them days. And then that ran the whole house. And off of one, probably 20 or 30 amp fuse. And it was called knob and tube wiring. I've seen things that you wouldn't believe. In fact, if I find a picture of it, I had a master electrician send me a picture from up in Kansas of a thing that I don't know if Connie found it or not, but it was one that she had a picture of that'll really make you bust a gut when you see what some of these homemade doers will do, you know, shade tree. And a lot of house fires back then were caused by people would slug those fuse boxes with a penny or a nickel behind the fuse, so the fuse didn't amount to anything, and then it gets the house on fire.
That's what you get when you buy, you know, when you stick a penny in there. I remember those glass ones, you know, that we used to screw out, and then there was the I don't know what they're called, but just the round ones with the copper on each end, and that's where it made contact, and you just pried it out, you know, from the little clamp that held it in there, one on each side. And yeah, I've replaced some of those glass fuses before in my grandmother's house. I remember that as a kid. I remember when they went from, you know, two prong. You know, extension cords, the three prong, and I said, what in the heck is this?
Yes, sir, N02. I've pretty much seen it all over 50 years, Dave. And they had bus fuses, busmen, and then when you had a motor load, they'd go to a fuse strong, and it would take the electrical inertia of a starting motor, which can be, 3 to 10 times your normal current, and it would not blow, but it would blow on a sustained overload, say a 20 amp fuse. If you were drawing more than that continuously, it'd go ahead and blow, and they were reliable, and I still got some of those down in my stuff, and I use them in one of my little test rigs. And the smallest one I used to use, I'd put a control transformer on machine tools so they could run a 100-watt light, and it went from 480 to 120, and then it had a 1 1/4 amp fuse drawn in it, and it's one of the round plug fuses, you know, not glass, but they made them all the way up to 30 amps, and then your blade fuses, and I've replaced those up to 1,500 amps. They cost a couple of bucks.
Yeah, I imagine so. I had a, of course, we're talking about DC. I'm talking about DC here. I had a little, it wasn't much, but what it would do was, I hooked two wires to it and two terminals, and I had them, I had to file the terminals down just a little bit so I could slide it in the fuse slot in a car, and that way that circuit breaker in there, if the car had a draw on it, or it was tripping, or it just had a direct short to ground, you know, I could stick that circuit breaker in there, and it would, you know, it would hold long enough for me to hunt, and then it would trip off, and then it would come back on. And I use that thing a bunch of times, you know, looking for, you know, short to grounds and trying to figure out what was going on.
So yeah, that's pretty trick. That's a good tool to have. Well, and then on the larger stuff in the automobiles, and I never did replace one, but they had fusible links, and they were the biggies, right?
Again, about the biggies?
Well, like on your main system, your charging system in your cars and that, they use fusible links, and they were depending on the size of the alternator.
The main fuse was like, I'm guessing, but I believe it was, I replaced a few of them, but I think there were 200 amps, and I remember a lady had her van towed in, her minivan. It was at the Mazda place, and what had happened was she had left her car in long-term parking at the airport, and her battery went dead, and so they jumped it off backwards and blew her fuse, but before it took out the main fuse, it took out the PCM, so she had to buy a new PCM, so I had to put the main fuse, had to replace it, put a new, or get the programming off the old PCM, and then pull it out, and then stick the new one in, and, you know, reprogram it to, you know, with the stuff from the old one. And it wound up costing her a heck of a lot of money. I hope she got some of that back from the airport, because all that from jumping off a car.
Yeah, I can see where it would, especially these new cars nowadays. Wow, that's scary, the thought of doing that. Well, Dave, you were pretty darn smart to be able to do stuff like that, I'll tell you for sure. But a lot of things now have reverse voltage protection on them, whereas in the old days, they didn't. And some of the alternators on those bigger cars were 100 amps, and maybe larger, I don't know. But they were big, and the police cars, I think they had big charging systems and such. But very interesting. But I'll tell you, I've seen just a little bit of everything down the line, and it's Murphy's Law. If it can be done wrong, it probably will be.
Yeah, well, yeah. I learned the proper way to hook up a battery and, to jump it, and there is a proper way to do it, and of course you don't want to hook the black to the red and vice versa, but some cars don't have that, but you can always look on the battery. It's got a plus and a minus on it, right beside the post, and so I mean that's easy enough to figure out. And I've seen batteries blow up. I was standing behind a guy, right behind him, and kind of leaning over his shoulder, and the battery he was messing with blew up in his face. I'm surprised it didn't injure him, but it didn't, and didn't get acid on him or anything. He was real fortunate, but I had a police car towed in one time at the county and wouldn't start. Opened the hood. I noticed there was a couple of dents in the hood. Opened the hood and the battery had blown, and all that was left was the cables from the car were still bolted to the post, and the posts were there, but none of the battery was there. I mean, it was just totally empty. And it was just the post. It was the funniest looking thing. So I had to call my supervisor over there, and I said, "Do you think this might be the problem?"
VIN0TR. Yeah, that's a good one. I'll tell you, Dave, I've seen, you know, bad things with batteries working in that machine shop on scissor lifts and forklifts and things like that, and motorized or electric pallet jacks and things of that, and overcharging and that. Hydrogen's nasty. If you got caught with a cigarette within 50 foot of a battery locker in the Navy, it was a court-martial offense, if I remember rightly. And they had big notices and red lines all around those battery lockers. Submarines use a tremendous amount of batteries. But the funniest thing I ever heard is one night I was listening to the police scanner up in my ham shack, and I heard an ambulance call go out, and they went out to a local bar in this little town I lived in. And what had happened was, they described it later, this guy was drunk, and it was cold, and he come out, and the car wouldn't start. So he raised the hood up, and he cranked on it a whole lot, you know, so that battery was probably gassing quite a bit. And so he looked under there at the battery and couldn't see anything wrong, so he took one of the filler caps off of it. Well, it was dark, and he couldn't see, so he took his cigarette lighter and held it over the battery there to see what was down in that hole, if there was any water or not. Now, I'll give you a guess what happened, and the battery acid hit him in the eyes.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, I was, when you were saying that, I was cringing, because, you know, I figured that's what you were getting ready to say, because you're really pushing your luck. I guess, you know, batteries, I've just seen such bad connections to car batteries, and all it takes is a little spark right there. If it's not tight, if you can twist that terminal back, you know, back and forth on that post, then it's not tight, and it'll arc. And you know, that battery's giving off gases, and it'll it can explode. And I think that's probably right after that policeman's car battery. It just had a loose connection, and he probably went to start it or something, and it just went pow. But anyway, but it put a couple of dents in the hood right there where the post were, so they must have, it must have gone, must have blown them up, straight up, and then they just came right back down. But I did notice the dents. But anyway, I tell you, stuff like that. Oh, me. Well, I'm at the sports club. I'm going to play some tennis. We're playing in the bubble tonight, so we thought it'd be pouring down rain, but it's not. But I'm not going to complain about playing in the bubble.
No, sir. Have a good game. Thursday's supposed to be when it starts. Most of the rain goes clear through Saturday, Dave. Well, I've seen times when, like, the big wire that goes from the frame over to the engine, it would get, just a couple of ohms of resistance in it. And it just doesn't take much at all. And or up there where everything turns green on the battery terminal and all. And that'll just do it in itself, you know, if you don't keep those terminals clean. And it pulled in one night to get a malt, had Bernice in the car, and had a, what was it, a 69 Plymouth, I think. Anyways, the lights went dim when I come back to the car with the malts and started to start it, and it just started just click, 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 nothing else. And so I went out there with the old Coke bottle, you know, and reached over there and tapped on the battery terminal, and away it went until I got home and cleaned it. I'll never forget that. I'll have to tell you that story sometime. There's a little more to it, but we wasn't married yet. But I'll let you know later because I know you want to get in. KB4CBA and 0TR73.
Well, will you take care, Tom? And, yeah, I guess I'll mosey on in and I'll change my shoes out here and go in and warm up my knees a little bit, and so they'll be in a little bit better shape for the running around and stuff. All right, well, you have a good evening, and I know you're in good hands there with Bernice, so she'll take care of you. She's probably got a frying pan in each hand. So she can give you that double whammy if you need it. So anyway, so behave, and we'll talk to you later. I'm just getting a mental picture of that. N0TRKB4CBA, clear.
The funny part was, I went in to get this peanut butter malt at this famous place, and the malts were so thick you could turn them upside down. But what they didn't tell me was that, you know, how they used to make the malts with that oval head thing and the spigot that sticks down in it. Well, they punctured a hole in the cup. So they put two cups together. Well, they didn't tell me. So when I went out to the car, I was trying to make a good impression to Bernice, and I held one of those peanut butter malts upside down, which every time I went to Barney's, you could do that. Well, there was two cups there, and the peanut butter malt just landed right in the middle of my car hood, and I was embarrassed. And Bernice didn't forget it either. See you later, N0TR.
Well, I mean, you know, stuff like that happens. I've been there and done that. You have a good one, KB4CBA, clear.